A huge anti-terrorism exercise, complete with fictitious weapons of mass destruction, a phony terrorist group, and thousands of participants, will be held this week in the United States. The $16 million drill is called Top Off for Top Officials, and it's intended to test how well federal, state, and local authorities respond to simultaneous attacks. The hope is that the simulation won't scare the public, but that it will better prepare officials to deal with the real thing. NPR's Pam Fessler reports.
At about noon tomorrow, a radiological or dirty bomb will hypothetically explode near downtown Seattle. The blast will flip a bus, destroy cars, and cause more than 100 casualties. Emergency workers responding to the scene will quickly conclude there's been a terrorist attack. Federal authorities will be called in. The nation will be put on the highest state of alert. What authorities won't know, says federal planner Ted Macklin, is that a far more insidious attack will have already occurred.
2 days earlier, the same terrorist organization executed an aerosolized pneumonic plague attack in several locations in Chicago.
Hospitals there won't begin to notice, though, until Tuesday, when a large number of people with flu-like symptoms come in for care. Unfortunately, by then, thousands will have been exposed to the highly contagious and potentially fatal disease. That's what's known about the exercise. What comes next will be up to the participants. Federal, state, and local officials will have to decide how to respond. Who'll be in charge? How will they communicate? What can be done to stop the spread of the disease? And can the terrorists be caught? Macklin says no one expects a perfect response.
Shortcomings will be found. Preparedness planning gaps will emerge.
And that's how it should be, says Tom Inglesby, deputy director of the Johns Hopkins Center for Civilian Biodefense.
The point of this exercise, in large part, is to find out what's not working. And it's not to show that everything is completely under control if it's not.
He says only by seeing the limitations can people figure out what needs to be fixed. Inglesby thinks the exercise will be a good test of the ability of public health authorities and hospitals to deal with a serious epidemic. He says officials will have to make some crucial decisions quickly.
Should schools be closed? Should people be directed to stay in their homes? Should people wear masks? Should airports or train stations be closed? These are the kinds of issues that health officials will be struggling with.
They'll also have to struggle with the consequences. Inglesby notes that in an earlier top-off exercise 3 years ago, authorities responded to a similar attack in Denver by imposing a quarantine on the entire state of Colorado, but they realized they had no idea how to enforce it. In that exercise, hospitals quickly became overwhelmed, and the distribution of antibiotics was stymied by indecision and logistics. At one point, a single person was counting pills and putting them in plastic baggies to be handed out. Major players found themselves tied up in lengthy conference calls involving up to 100 people. By day four, up to 2,000 people had hypothetically died. But it's these experiences that made the exercise valuable, says Michael Greenberger, director of the University of Maryland Center for Health and Homeland Security.
It's like flexing muscles. There's strange muscles that the government doesn't use on a regular basis, or certainly up to that time didn't use on a regular basis.
Greenberger was an official at the Justice Department for the first top-off exercise and says a lot of progress has been made since. Before 9/11, it was hard to get some officials to take such exercises seriously. Now, he says, people realize that each one adds to the nation's preparedness. He thinks top-off 2, the first big drill involving the new Department of Homeland Security, will be a good test of government coordination.
There's a lot of thinking that goes on now about what is the role of the federal government, what is the role of the state government, and these exercises are very good for eliminating the Alphonse Gaston thing about who goes first, and the feds not trying to knock out the state and locals before they need to be knocked out, and the state and locals understanding when the problem has gotten so big that they do need a federal presence to help them.
He and others acknowledge there are some limitations, though. For starters, everyone knows when and where the attacks will occur. That might be necessary for a huge exercise, but not likely to happen in real life. And then there's the biggest variable of all, says Tom Inglesby of Johns Hopkins, and that's the unpredictable public response.
We have to turn to real-life examples for lessons on these matters. So, for example, in Beijing earlier this month, 2 weeks into the SARS outbreak, we learned that 1 million people had left Beijing. despite government orders to the contrary.
Such reactions can ruin even the best-laid government plans. Even so, authorities want to avoid any public panic this week. They've warned repeatedly that the events in Chicago and Seattle are only a test. Pam Fessler, NPR News, Washington.